Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. This is hour two of the May 9th radio show. We've got a big show ahead here because we're going to be talking about all those toxic things around your house. Now, it could be the railroad ties out back. It could be the mold in your bathroom or anything else. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to, and let's get to the show.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio. If the kids can only hear you, they go out of control. You gotta get on the radio. You want the money and the fame and the sold-out shows, and you gotta
get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, if you missed the last hour, and some of you guys like down in Baker City, and some of you guys... You guys missed the first half of the show.
You missed the breaking news.
You missed the breaking news. So you got to go back to the podcast. You got it, brother. You got to go back. And that is Around the House with Eric G. You can catch that anywhere out in the podcast land. Find it out there. You can listen to it right there. Go over to Around the House Online.
I was going to say, you don't have to go find it. You just got to go to AroundTheHouseOnline.com.
No, but you know what I mean. But here's the thing, though. You can get it just about anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's Spotify, if it's Apple, it's Google,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's out there. So, you know, find it out there and you're good to go. And then, you know, that's just one of those things that way you missed, because if you missed the breaking news,
Murder Hornets.
Come on.
And we got the pro talking about it and what you need to know about it. So go back, hit that. It's at the very beginning of hour number one. You'll be good to go.
Oh, yeah. We started out fast with that one and put our foot into it, and here we go. All right. I want to talk this hour because... I'm gonna get on my soapbox for a minute. Pet peeves. You know, I help Cindy on her DIY home improvement group, which is awesome. Those people are good. There are other groups that I'm in, and there are some reckless people out there.
So what are they like sharing up photos of stuff they did the wrong way?
Or bragging
about stuff they do the wrong way?
Oh, some of these groups don't have good moderators in our old house. And I'm going to call you guys out. Oh, yeah. I'm going to call you guys out because there are, you know, it's funny. When you get to be in a group that's well moderated, like, you know, like Around the House Nation or Cindy's group over there, it's really cool. However, when you get to these other ones that basically they're just looking for people fighting and they're going to break it up, man, there's some hacks. And there are some hacks out there that give dangerous advice. Don't worry about that asbestos. Just, you know, wet it down, throw it in the trash. Well, geez, let's break a bunch of laws while we're doing it and rest the whole family while we're doing it. So I wanted to talk about some different stuff. And, you know, I teased ahead this last, as we're going into this break. And I wanted to talk about this because it's a big one. People forget, especially this time of year, you know, you can go down to the store and a lot of these farm and ranch stores and buy used railroad ties. Don't do it.
So, well, let's take it step by step. Why not?
Those are filled with toxic chemicals.
So why are they allowed to be sold?
That is beyond me.
Okay, we're on the same page then. I don't understand why they'd be able to be sold.
So creosote is carcinogen. It is designed to kill things it touches. They don't want it rotting. They don't want ants and whatever, termites, anything going into it because it's designed to hold up a freight train.
Yep.
So they load it up with chemicals and put it underneath there. Now, here's the stuff that people just don't think about. Train cars are not perfect on containing the loads they're in.
True.
So if you get a railroad tie that comes out of, a high-speed railway, probably not that many things that got dripped on it. If it was inside of a train yard, that could have had a quart of name any chemical, insert here, on it. And now you're going to go, you know, I'm going to build somebody a really nice garden bed, and I'm going to plant my vegetables, and I am injecting all of these chemicals into the ground around it.
And into their food.
And into the food and everything else. And I'll be honest, it's been probably a decade that I just won't allow. If I've been on a project or I've been helping people with, my first rule is get that junk out of there. Because it's dangerous, it's nasty. And quite frankly, when they rot out, because usually by the time they're pulled out, if you're getting used railroad ties, they're already partially rotten, right? Because they pulled them out and replaced them.
Because, yeah, they discarded them.
Yeah, they already had their lifespan. So now they're reusing those. Those are getting done. And then what happens is you're putting them in, and then what are you going to do when you get rid of them? You got to go get rid of those in the hazardous materials place, because those, in most areas, will not be allowed to go in the landfill.
I just don't understand why they're allowed. And I know we've already made this point, but it just baffles me that they're allowed to be sold.
Well, you could have asbestos in materials up until a few years ago.
Well, yeah, but at least have some sort of notification or caution or put the word out that this is filled with chemicals.
Oh, yeah, but that's because it's used stuff. You know, you got 20-year-old railroad ties filled with chemicals that, you know, people get them for next to nothing for the price of scrap. They bundle them up, put them up on the shelf someplace, and resell them.
Yeah, I understand business, but
I don't think this should be allowed out there. Trust me, I think those should be, you know, went off and put in and you know, gotten rid of and not...
taken to the hazardous waste before they get sold out to the public.
Yeah, not one of those things that I think, and to be honest, you can use so many new... That's why they got rid of the old pressure-treated stuff, is because they're using these new copper sulfates and stuff, and they're just knocking it out, and it works pretty well. I mean, of course, this nasty, deadly stuff worked really well, but guess what? It made you sick, too. I mean, when I was living in Tacoma, Washington, they had a big smelter there that did this, and that was where they made railroad ties for the West Coast, was over there. It's one of the many places. And so they made that creosote there. Well, guess what? All around that, they were digging up people's yards during the Superfund cleanup, because all that creosote had landed in yards, and they were digging up a foot of baseball fields, football fields, school yards, front yards, backyards, name it.
As deep as they had to go to get it out.
To get it out of there. And then bring in fresh dirt. So you could imagine neighborhood by neighborhood what this took to get it. And so when I see people putting that in their yard, I just shake my head and go, what are you thinking? So if it's in your yard, get rid of it. Put up a nice block retaining wall. It looks better anywhere. It'll last forever if you do it right. Get rid of those little block. Get rid of those you know, creosote-filled railroad ties. Just make them go away.
Probably don't look good anyway.
They look ratty, you know. I mean, I was great example. I was on a page this last week, and I can't remember what page it was. It wasn't ours. Somebody was going to sand it down and finish it, and I'm like, why did you want to have that sand in your lungs? That's sawdust? No. Don't sand
and
those.
Like, that doesn't. I mean, is you really going to put the effort into re-sanding and finishing a railroad tie? You can do so much better with that space.
Oh man, just don't do it. Don't do it. Well, here's another one I want to talk about here a little bit later that I was talking to the handyman Bob this week about.
Hey.
Yeah, good old Bob Strong. You know, he used to have around the house with handyman Bob. Then it was around the house with handyman Bob and Eric G. And now it's around the house with Eric G. So he is a 10-year veteran of around the house. And so I always love talking to him. And he owns his own, you know, asbestos-lead testing company now. So it's really cool here in the Portland area. And so it's great talking to him about this stuff. And we were talking about vermiculite insulation. And I know, Dane, you're looking at me going, what? What is that?
Vermiculite? I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And so what it is vermiculite is a mineral, and it kind of looks gravelly. You know, it has that kind of almost kitty litter look to it.
Okay.
With a little more gray, a little more tan. Well, here's the problem with it. Most of that stuff came out of a mine in Libby, Montana. And vermiculite really, even though it has almost the exact same properties as asbestos, it can get in your lungs, it can do all those same nasty things that asbestos does. It's not asbestos by definition, even though it's kind of in there. The problem, though, is when you get into the technicality, is one of the biggest asbestos mines was in the middle of this. So the vermiculite and asbestos
run together
in the ground. And so when they were mining, yeah, that's vermiculite. Oh, there's a little asbestos in it. You're okay.
Yeah, it's still vermiculite.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden you've got a product that mimics asbestos. and then you've got asbestos all coming out of the same hole in the ground.
Now, is vermiculite able to be used? Is there any...
Dude, it's in potting soil. It's the little white stuff that you see in potting soil today.
Oh, my. Okay. Great.
So you got to be careful with this stuff.
There's no real restrictions on this stuff. But
well, no. You got to be careful with it. You know, that was where that mine came out of. You know, it's probably a little bit better now, but it's in fertilizer, potting soil, that kind of stuff. But you just got to be careful of it. You know, the most popular vermiculite installation in the U.S. was sold under the brand name Zonolite. And anyway, that stuff can be quite the mess. And I want to talk about how you find that in your house, because that's one of those things that if you run into it, there's a few things you can do that's kind of a basic one. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. You can buy me a drink. I can get you a Jennifer Lopez.
What's up? This is Dick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you're liking us on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And then make sure you turn around and like us over on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, all those different places. So make sure you say hello over there. And if you've got any questions, you can also submit them if you don't want to call in. You can also submit them to the website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com. Well, Dane's overdoing a couple other producer things here for the moment, and I wanted to talk real quick before we get into vermiculite. I really wanted to talk about some of the other things that really they cause some problems around your house, and I'm going to talk about some of the chemicals and some of the other things that happen. Like, for instance, radon. Radon is a huge problem around the U.S., and depending on where you live, you could have radon next door, you could have radon not in your house. And so it's one of those things I really want you to take a look at, because if you've got a crawl space underneath your house or a basement and you've got a serious radon issue, these are things that need to be taken care of. And more importantly, as we make houses tighter, if you've got that, you know, 1920s house, maybe you had that shake roof up there, that wooden cedar shake roof or any other type of roof out there, and something that was airy, you know, let the air come through a lot, they vented well, you know, you didn't have any of the house wrap, and then you go put in a new, you know, three-tab roof up there that's all sealed up with sheeting, and now you all of a sudden you've got, you know, house wrap around the outside and new windows and doors, and you've got a tightened-up home. That radon used to come out of the house really well, and now all of a sudden you're trapping inside. So, you know, in most cases across the country, when you buy a house, they make you do a radon test and make sure that that gets taken care of as part of the sale. And there's reasons for that. So if you've been a house for, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years and they haven't done that, it's a good idea to do it. Now, here's the thing that people forget about. If you had a radon test and you had seismic activity, so let's say you had a, you know, 2, 3, 4 earthquake, nothing substantial that did damage, then I would have it done again, because earthquakes create new cracks in the ground. Things moved around a bit. So what might have been no radon before could be big radon again. So I want you to make sure to do that. And then one of the things that I want you to, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we talk about mold, but I really want you to pay attention in your home to humidity, because too low humidity can be bad, too high of humidity can be bad. And the reason with that is because it messes with your VOCs, so your volatile organic compounds. And so we'll talk a little more about that later, but humidity can be a double-edged sword. One, it can lead to mold. Two, it can lead to high VOCs. Now, things that I want you to pay attention to with VOCs, and if you've got a new house, I always recommend people to go ahead and get a VOC test and a mold test done. And what you can do is it's just an air test that you run inside your home, and that's easy to do. And once you've done that, you have an idea what chemicals are lurking, and you'd be surprised what chemicals, you know, are flying around like that. you know, and so you want to make sure you got those under control. It could be cleaning agents. It could be, I mean, if you did a VOC test right after you did a deep clean on your house, you're going to be surprised at what's coming around there. Just as a new house where you got all these different things that are off-gassing. And those tests can be really good. And we'll bring Carolyn Blazowski in from, you know, America's Healthy Home Expert and do that. If you want one of those tests, by the way, just head over to her website. Let's see. That is healthyhomeexpert.com. Healthyhomeexpert.com. And you can take a look over there. And she's got her stuff over there to take a look at. That's a good way to go, because that's going to keep that house clean and, you know, something that's less for you if you're breathing. Now, there's a lot of different things you can do mechanically if you want to get fresh air and stuff in your home, because here's one of the things that I want to talk about real quick, because I think this is important. You know, when you've got the holidays over at your house, maybe you got 15 or 20 people in it, everybody's hanging out, everybody's getting tired. You know what that is? That is high carbon dioxide levels, because you are lowering the oxygen inside the house. And then those go up. How do you do that? Well, you can put in an energy recovery ventilator, which basically is bringing fresh air in. You could have it set up where your heating and cooling system is bringing new stuff in. And more importantly, what you can do, which is an easy one, is put a Velux skylight in that has the solar-powered auto open. And what it'll do is it'll notice that, wow, we need to ventilate the house. It'll measure those if you get the right system. And it'll actually open up those skylights. So if you like to have dinner parties and things like that, putting in these skylights will actually do a pretty good job of ventilating that out and getting you fresh air. But it's smart enough to know when it's raining. It's smart enough to know that the temperature outside is bad compared to the temperature inside. So these are all things that I want you to pay attention to, because these can lead to a healthier home. And those are things that I just want to think about, because, you know, they're fairly low cost compared to some of these big systems. And a skylight always adds more light. And, you know, one thing, too, and I was just talking to Carolyn with this last week, and it's an important topic. You know, we're making homes more, you know, that energy efficient, window size is going down because insulation's better. But the problem is that you run into is UV light is good. It actually helps kill viruses and things like that. So there's got to be a balance. For me, I like my windows, and I'll pay a little higher energy bill. I'm not going to worry about that other stuff, but those are some of the things that I really want you to think about. Now, here's one thing too that I want you to remember to do when you're cooking. And ventilation is key on this one. This is another one of those unhealthy home things. I want to make sure that you've got a really good vent hood in that kitchen that's taking all that cooking stuff and sending it outside. If you've got no hood that vents outside, or even worse, one of those like microwaves or one of the revent ones where it vents back into the space, that doesn't meet international building code anyway. So I want to make sure you've got a really good vent hood that vents outside all the way, not into the attic. That way, when you're cooking, you can get those smells and all that stuff that's smoke and grease, you can get that out of the home and make it a healthier place. A good vent hood is one of those things that you got to be very careful with. Now, here's one thing, and it's so easy to overdo this. If you get over, you know, 400 CFM, which is cubic feet per minute, the other problem you run into is you need to create makeup air. What's that? So if you think about it, if you've got maybe your kitchen hood pulling out 400 cubic feet per minute, and then you've got the dryer going that's maybe doing 200, you got a bath fan doing 100, you're creating vacuum in the house. And what can happen is you can pull the gases out of your gas water heater or furnace back into the house, and that's a dangerous situation. More around the house just as soon as we return.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking around the house with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. thanks for joining us. If you're listening on the radio, we really appreciate you. If you're listening on the podcast, thanks for listening. Now, if you only caught part of it because you're listening on the radio, jump back and grab the podcast anywhere you catch podcasts, or just head over to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Well, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder. And hey, we want your questions. Give us a call here in the studio. Our number is 971-233-8992. You're going to call, leave us a message with our the best number to call you back. And we will call you back, record you, and put you in the show.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, we've been talking asbestos and all these different things right here. We're talking vermiculite. And the thing with the vermiculite that gets interesting, and that's the vermiculite insulation. We're talking about the little particles and dust with it. When I was talking to Handyman Bob about this stuff, and we're just talking hazardous materials around your home, and this is used as insulation, sound deadening, fire break, you know, it was many times you'll find it in that 1940s and earlier homes as insulation. Well, because it has so many of the same properties as asbestos, you know, asbestos has gotten the bad stamp of approval going, okay, that's going to cause lung cancer. If you look at a microscope, this stuff does the same thing. So it's going to cause that. And, you know, that's one of the controversial things even with fiberglass insulation. And it has a lot of the same properties. So 10 years from now, I'll be going to be going, you know, that fiberglass was bad like asbestos was. But that's a whole other story. But you think about that. A lot of people like Bob don't even test it. When they see it, they go, it's going to hurt you either way. If it's going to hurt you either way, then just go ahead and deal with it like it was asbestos. He doesn't even test it because it doesn't really matter. It's going to cause that same harm. That dust is just as hazardous. So just get rid of it. So what do you do if you have it? You kind of have two choices. Choice number one is don't touch it. Leave it alone. If you're going to go up in your attic and lay insulation bats over the top of it and not disturb it, you're okay. If you're going to, if it's in the wall, man, I would have them, and you're going to be doing like electrical boxes or something like that. And I've seen it where they basically fill the wall cavity up with it. Great insulation that way. Problem is when your electrician goes in and cuts in a box someplace, it all comes out like it's sand out of
it's gravel.
Yeah, basically. It's like sand gravel. It's like kitty litter comes out. It's just going to come out of the bag, you know. And so what I say is, okay, go through and mark what stud bays you're going to have. Have you go in there, have them remove that, clean it up, get that out of there, and then have the electrician come in and do what they're going to do. And then have somebody come back in and fill that up with foam or whatever else to get rid of it. And that way you've got something that's going to be that much better, or blow in insulation or do something like that. But just get rid of it. You know, if you've got a little bit on the ground, just get it really wet, put on a very good mask, clean it up, you know, and dispose of it legally in your area. Some places they might want that tested. For instance, in Portland, it's really easy. You can walk down to head down to our metro area here, and that's who does our dump and hazardous materials. Well, you can get rid of hazardous materials for $5.
Oh, that's not bad.
So you can go down there with a few bags of technically asbestos and get rid of it that way. So,
well, now you did say, I mean, because they're going to make you test it, right?
Maybe, maybe not. You could take it down there and say it's asbestos, pay your $5, and it doesn't matter.
And they'll
treat it that way. They're going to dispose of it the same way.
Okay.
But you just don't want to throw this stuff in your trash can, basically, is what I'm telling you. So that's the key with that. Well, some of the other stuff, I'm going to wrap that one up on that portion of that.
Verticulite? Was that what it was called?
Vermiculite.
Vermiculite.
Yeah. So one of the other ones that gets interesting here is asbestos, and that's the cousin of vermiculite. So many people think, oh, I've got a 1960s house. It's never there. 1970s or even 1980s house. Before 2010, it could have small traces of it in there. Now, you think about how it used to be, you know, brake pads. You'd see them, organic brake pads. Yeah, those are asbestos.
So well, asbestos is organic, is it not?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Organic's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing with that. When you look at these kind of things, and this is what you got to be careful with this stuff, is that asbestos can be so many places. And one of the most common ones that I see people get tripped up on is flooring. And it's not just the asbestos in the flooring. It's the black tar-like glue that holds it down. So you can go through, and this was a common thing in the 50s, 60s that you would have beautiful hardwood floors around and they didn't want to refinish them. It was so much cheaper to go in and put down linoleum over the top of it. So they would get out the black tar asbestos fibered glue and mop it down and lay the stuff down, and you had this really cool glue.
Worked really well.
Worked well. So then what happens is you go in, you peel up the floor. Now you got this, and people go, oh, I'm just going to sand it. Well, you're sanding it. You're putting those asbestos fibers everywhere. They go, oh, I'm just going to vacuum my shop vac. Well, shop vac is not rated like a HEPA filter would be for with that right HEPA filter that you would use in asbestos cleanup. So you're just blowing it around the house even further.
Making it even worse.
Making it worse. You know, asbestos is found in tar paper. It's found in roofing. You know, it's found in flooring. It's found in drywall mud, like popcorn ceilings, joint tape, drywall mud. There's a lot of different places. Pipe wraps is super common.
I mean, my high school that I was going to when I was a freshman, they tore it down, and it was built in the 50s. They tore it down because there was asbestos inside.
So for them, it was too cost effective to do that. Now, if you were in the city of Portland doing that, they wouldn't say that that would be cost effective because they have to. In most cases, commercial buildings get a little bit of a gray area. Why they get a special treatment.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but if you're tearing down a house in the city of Portland that has asbestos in it, you have to abate it anyway. So that's one of those things that I just want everybody to think a little bit about. Because when you've got that in the house, just deal with it. Treat it right. You either have two choices. Cover it up. Put another layer of something over the top of it. Leave it alone or abate it. Really, that's your choices right there. And if not, you know, there, I Lake Oswego here, geez, handful of years ago, a realtor that was flipping houses got nailed, I think, $20,000 for not hiring an asbestos abatement company in and just throwing the trash. $20,000, people. It's a lot of fines
for something that could have been easily.
Yeah, it's expensive. I mean, you're going to spend, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $10,000, depending on what you do to get it abated, depending on how big it is.
Not $20,000.
It's not $20,000. It's not a fine. And then you have to get it cleaned up because even though the fat dust went around, it's still contaminated. So somebody has to go through and clean that up. So why put everybody at risk? Just do it right. So one of the things, too, I want to talk about here before we go out to break here in a few minutes is that's really big is lead paint. You know, lead paint is one of those hazardous materials around the house that can easily be dealt with, but you just need to be more aware of it. And if it's chipping and getting nasty, you know, that's where you need to be careful with. So they make some really cool test kits. 3M makes a little pen that you break open and you wipe it across something and it turns red. It's lead paint. Now you can see what you've got. So older homes, and quite frankly, the better paint was the lead paint. So I have seen, and I was talking to Handyman Bob about this years ago. It's kind of cool. You can see in areas where the paint salesman was doing a better job of upselling on paint because there's more lead paint. You know, you'll see those 1940s, 1950s homes, even 20s and 30s sometimes with that better paint. Guess what? That's where those neighborhoods got. You'll see neighborhood hotspots with it.
There's a reason that paint has held up this long.
Oh, it's great. Holds up awesome.
Well, I was going to say, it's been, what, 80, 90 years that it might still be there?
Still be there. That's impressive. Doing great. Yeah.
But it's because it's lead.
Yep. So these are things you just don't want to be careful with. You know, you paint over it, you're great, man. Just paint over it, encapsulate it, you're good to go. Do I want you sanding around there?
No.
Nope. There's things to do. And if you are hiring a contractor out there and you are having them work on your house prior to 1978, they better be lead paint certified. That is a national code that you need to be careful with. And so they have to have that testing to make sure that they are certified in whatever state you're in so they can be working in that, because the last thing you need is that lead paint getting around and causing brain defects with children and that kind of stuff. So bad news. All right, we come back. We'll talk a little bit more just as soon as we're at Master Terrence. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, the time goes so quickly.
Wait, is this the last? Are we?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Already.
Crazy. I don't know how this happens.
It happens every single week.
Every week.
Absolutely.
And I'm not playing this up because we say this almost every week. It literally goes by so darn quick.
Yeah, it just blasts right through. So one of the things I want to talk about today here, just we've been talking about those hazardous materials around your home. And of course, you know, in your garage, there's tons of them in there.
Oh,
yeah. In your garden shed, from all the different chemicals to
oils, you know, and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, just make sure to go through that every once in a while. Go through, clean it up, get rid of those old stuff. If you've got that old, you know, your grandpa's weed killer out there, maybe it's time to just get rid of that stuff. Take it down to the hazardous materials site. Get it gone. Start fresh. Get something new. Get something a little safer, you know. But one of the things I want to talk about before we run out of time is mold. And mold gets missed so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mold can be as simple as that orangey, mildewy stuff that's in your shower.
Mm-hmm.
To the black stuff that is behind the wall or in your crawl space or your attic and all that stuff. So I really want people to take mold into account, and there's ways to do it. I mean, you can get a hold of, we're going to put, we'll book up Carolyn here soon, and we'll get Carolyn Blazowski, my good friend. Her and I talk almost just every other day about stuff, but she's America's healthy home expert. We'll bring her back on here again. You could actually do a mold test in your house. It's an air test.
Okay.
So you can test the air in your house to see how it is. Now, the secret to this is you can test the air in the house, but you also want to test the air outside your house.
As a, like, just to see if it's an issue with what's in your home or just the air around you kind of thing?
Well,
or?
Here's the thing. Maybe you're opening up every day the air outside and you're opening the windows up. It's springtime. It's beautiful. I want some fresh air. And you're letting all this mold in your house.
It's not quite so fresh air.
No, you think about it. I mean, it's interesting. You know, when you think about these kind of things, you know, if you look at people will put in these new fresh air, you know, ERV systems that bring air out from the outside into your home on these new tight homes. So mm-hmm. It's a little box that takes air in, recovers the energy out of it so you don't lose any of that heat or cooling or whatever, and puts fresh air in. If you look at that filter, if you're next to a highway or something like that, all
just
of a sudden,
the toxins,
oh,
and
just the carbon from cars and all the dirt in the air and all that junk that's out in Mother Nature gets in your home. So outside air, you got to think about it, is not that clean. So you want to make sure with that. But long story short, you want to test that outside air just as much as the inside so you have that control to figure out what it is. But you can run an air test and know if you've got an underlying mold issue that's contaminating the house. So if you don't know that you've got mold in the attic, that's one quick, easy way without having to dive into all the little details to see if you've got something inside.
Now, can you get these tests at your normal home center? Or
no, this is an air test, so you're going to actually run it. It's a machine that runs through and does this, but, you know, Carolyn sells them on her website, which is awesome. You know, and I mean, she's just Google Carolyn, America's Healthy Home Expert. You can find it there.
She pops right up.
We'll put her on the show here soon because she's overdue for the show. And that really kind of gets you where you can test that. You can also do the same for VOCs, volatile organic compounds. You can test those things in as well. And her and I were diving in earlier this week about seeing how humidity in your house controls how much VOCs are in your house. There are areas where the humidity changes. If it goes too high, it helps release those VOCs, those organic compounds. And all of a sudden you get more humidity. It's almost like steam. It grabs it up in the air
and
puts that
it,
stuff okay. in and makes them more active. So if you keep that humidity in the right sweet spot, you're good to go. We'll get more into that in another show. But really, when it comes down to mold, if you see that you've got mold, and I want you to look all the time for mold, I want you to stick your head up in the attic. I want to make sure that those vent fans are going outside. They don't want you to go into your attic. If you've got a bathroom vent fan and a kitchen vent fan, they need to be hard ducted outside, good to go. Sometimes flux duct goes into one of those things where code says you have to do it, but follow your code with that stuff. Watch that mold. It's dangerous. It's super unhealthy. And it can be a big problem. And I want you to make sure you watch that. And we'll be talking about that more in some other episodes coming up. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening
to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2020 Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.